Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Caller, Nolan Hams, and Sandra Johnson. Season 6, Episode 124.
I am Troy Caller from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Nolan, Sandy, thanks for joining us. We're going to have a couple more people joining us in a few moments. But before we do that, I'd love to just talk about what's happening in studios over the past few weeks. There's a lot going on. I'm going to start because I know we just attended the Present to Succeed conference. And my big takeaway is time zones. Time zones I'm doing time zones for these East Coast-based companies, like kind of on several times a week and waking up at 3, 4, or 5 in the morning to meet those. But this one was a bigger time zone for me than I am used to. So that's a big deal. It was a great conference. By the way, whole talk today is about the conference. So, and then the other on what's happening, I would say travel is happening in 2021. I mean, this is very exciting. We get to start looking at moving our company activity and our presentation work back to what we've always done, which is going on show site. And, working with the presenters, executives, and then running the presentations, and that's happening. We're getting projects on the calendar, not this month, but coming up toward in Q4, and then just so much presentation design. We are just cranking through. I mean, the whole team is busy. We're PowerPointing to the maximum, right now. How about you guys?
It's conference season, right? So we just were going to be talking about Present to Succeed. That's over. I'm now putting together my sessions for Creative Pro Week next month. So I've got my head down on that, which we're going to talk about. And we have a special announcement about that. I also just committed to attending the Presentation Summit in September in person. So that's also now on the radar. That's going to be in Florida. And that'll be exciting too. That'll be our first in-person conference I've returned to. And just got a lot of other work going on, a lot of different random projects. I'm helping someone on a deck for an investor pitch competition. So putting on my investor hat, my investor pitch hat again. And a lot of different things. Sandy, how about you?
Well, like you too, I attended Present to Succeed. I didn't get to see as many sessions as I would have liked. Of course, there's that time zone thing. I am presenting at two conferences in May. I'm super, super busy. I'm working on conference presentations for executives. Now, I'm not as involved as the conferences I participated in the past. This is just for 5 executives, but super aggressive deadline, super aggressive deadline. The contractor who reached out to me thought she could do it and learned she couldn't. So
that's a hard one.
There's still really great presentations. I'm really proud of what's coming out, but man, it was a really aggressive timeline. I did seek outside help. I'm working on an animation for a court case. And guys, I did reach out to each of you. We're considering both 2D and 3D animation for a car accident, a truck passenger car accident. And I would love to appeal to our audience. If there's anyone out there who does 3D modeling and might be able to take this on, I'd love to chat with you about it. I'm working on the training videos for this incubator team I'm working with. And I'm only mention this because now that I'm working in the corporate environment, I love how Teams, SharePoint, and Office facilitate collaboration. I never knew how deep and easy collaboration could be on PowerPoint until I was actually in an enterprise environment. It's perfect. That's it.
That's awesome. And you know what? Your statement there in an enterprise environment is probably critical to the whole collaboration
thing.
That's right. Because it's a thing. Okay. What's happening is a lot's happening. Let's jump over to news.
All right. Presenter Coach is now available on all platforms. It had been slowly rolling out to online and Windows, but finally it is available now on all platforms, Mac, mobile, PC, online. And I've been noticing people actually discovering it more and more online and liking it a lot. So if you haven't played around with it, it's been getting better and better as it's been slowly rolling out. It is now, it's now available to you.
That's great. Another announcement just last week, Microsoft announced that Office 2021 is going to be available in the second half of 2021. So that's new. And just to clarify, Office 365 is the subscription service. You pay an annual fee. You have constant access to the latest bells and whistles. The perpetual, the non-subscription.
I think that's the way to say it. Yeah, yes. The installable.
I like that. That's more self-explanatory. The installable version will probably come with the most current bells and whistles, but you will not be able to update it as often or ever.
Or it may not, because usually those standalone versions don't have all the cloud features.
No, they don't. So they won't be able to update it.
Right. But like even a lot of the AI cloud features, such as, like, I don't know if it's going to have a presenter coach or.
You're probably right. It's going to be updated from 2016, which is the most recent, and as many new features as possible is what I don't have the details.
It basically creates a point in time and says, we're giving you this version with everything we've got now, and anything going forward isn't going to be included. And a lot of the. I guess some of the AI powered stuff is, but anyways, I actually did not know that was coming out. It's, you know, a lot of companies still require it. Hey, so another new feature that's in PowerPoint, but not in all versions. As example, I know Nolan, you've got it. And on my Surface, which I run the, you know, the Fast Insiders or whatever we call the super beta version, I have it, but on my main system, I do not. And that is the lock items, which is going to be just an awesome feature. It's great, but not as great as some of you are thinking. So you can select any item on a slide level and you open up the selection pane, and right next to the eyeball, there's a little lock icon. So you can basically say, this image, I can't select it and I cannot move it, but it's not like you're locking it from people getting into it. You're just making it so it's not accessible at that point. Anybody can undo it is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I would prefer to put them on the master slide and say, these are accessible only if you have a password or something, but it's a cool improvement. And it's coming out because this episode's releasing really, really quick. It won't be out for everybody, but within the next few weeks, I'm guessing, everybody should have lock items in PowerPoint.
And just to clarify, that's locking on slide items. You cannot lock, say, for example, placeholders in the master.
Correct. So actually, I don't think you can actually lock a placeholder
at all.
I will retract that statement until I actually experiment with it, but you cannot do it on the master slide level. That's for slide level only. Mm-hmm.
So again, that's not on the Mac right now, but something that is on the Mac is they just updated the start experience for Mac. And this is provided you're on Big Sur. I'm actually still a couple version OSs behind, but they're just trying to bring it in more parity with the PC. So on the Mac, the start sort of window and everything, that whole experience is has changed. So that's a small little thing that Mac users will see. Do we have Troy? Back to you for more PowerPoint.
Oh, well, then I got to mention, there are so many things for news. I mean, PowerPoint's been cranking out a lot. Present Live in Teams. So again, this is a Microsoft Teams only thing, and it's presenting within there, and it's pretty cool. And the other thing I got to say is not only is it in Teams, but it's, what am I trying to say here? It's not the desktop. It's the web. PowerPoint for web is the only way to get to this. Mm-hmm. And there's a little button there that says present in Teams. So whatever presentation you have open, it'll automatically bring it up into your Teams meeting. So it's just I think it's getting smarter and more easy to start your presentations. And then also if you're in Microsoft Teams, it's going to automatically start up the Teams version of Presenter View. So it's like PowerPoint Presenter View, but it's only the Teams version. So it's getting a little convoluted, but that's a new feature. Yeah. Just I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but Present Live, it's a new little option. It's not on the desktop version yet, but I'm hoping to see it there. But it really is kind of streamlining how we start our presentations.
Mm-hmm. All right. One last PowerPoint thing, and this is a big one. The Noun Project, the add-in within PowerPoint, now inserts SVGs. No longer PNGs. Yep.
So Wait, is it only SVG? No option?
I believe it's only SVG.
I'm okay with that, but that's awesome.
Yeah. So I didn't see an option when I played around with it. Just now if you see the announcement or whatever, it's going to if you saw it from the Noun Project, they're going to take you to an external website to download the add-in. And I thought it was a new special add-in. It's not, it's just the normal Noun Project plugin that you can install from the get add-ins. But if you already have it installed, you don't have to do anything.
Oh, okay. That was my next question. Yeah, okay.
It's all automatic. So instead of that, that icon coming in as a PNG, it now comes in as an SVG that you can convert to a shape and do whatever you want with. So we've been asking that for a long time. And thank you. Thank you, Noun Project.
So we have another conference giveaway. This time we are going to offer a 3-day pass to Creative Pro Week, which is happening on May 17 through 21. And what that will give you is it allows you to attend any 3 consecutive days. And since the topics are somewhat sequenced over the 5 days, you can choose to attend concentrations on InDesign, Illustrator, Photoshop, or attend all of the presentation concentration, which I believe, Nolan, you're going to be speaking at this, right?
Yes, be speaking alongside lots of others like Mark Heaps, Joel Simmons, John Schwabish, Mike Parkinson, I don't know who Mark is, Richard Goring, and lots of others. So, like we've done before, here's the deal, right? We're going to be promoting this for the next 2 weeks on social media, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter until our next episode. All you have to do is reshare one of our posts or create your own and tag the podcast or Sandy or Troy or Nolan. Again, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, your choice. Now, you have to post, right? Or reshare. Does liking count?
We love it, but I don't know if
we do like likes, but
I think you have to share it.
You have to share so we know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Just liking doesn't get you an entry, but we'll take it. But if you want to be entered into this for a full 3-day pass, you have to share or post your own.
Hey, this is worth it. Did you guys, I'm sorry. I was distracted with playing with the Noun Project add-in. They're truly SVGs. I'm just outing myself here. Did you guys, this one is worth it, people. It's absolutely like $1,400, right?
Yeah. It's worth over $1,400.
This is crazy good stuff.
Yeah. Crazy good stuff. And I do want, for those people who don't already follow us though, the podcast, Twitter handle is at @PRES_podcast. And my handle, heavens, I couldn't come up with the word, is @PPTWiz. Nolan, what is yours?
My Twitter handle is @NolanHames. On LinkedIn, it's Nolan Hames, and Facebook, Nolan Hames. So yeah, there aren't a lot of those around.
And Troy, what is your LinkedIn? Do you know off the top of your head?
LinkedIn, and look for Troy Collar.
There you go.
And my Twitter handle is talk to those guys. So, this one, I'm very excited about this one. First of all, the conference itself completely just has evolved, and the value on this, I mean, it's worth it to go to anything. That's very, it's going to be good. And this is, hey, we're giving away top dollar stuff now. I'm pretty excited. Mm-hmm. Speaking of conferences and good investments, we are going to jump over to our intro to talk about the Present to Succeed conference. Okay, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. Just days ago, April 15th to the 17th of 2021, just to give a timestamp there, was the Present to Succeed conference. This was a virtual event hosted on the Hopin platform and organized by Boris Hristov and the 356 Labs team in Bulgaria. The conference mission, and I'm going to read this statement here, help organizations break the cycle of inefficient and underperforming presentations within their ranks. Examine the underlying issues that are having such a major impact on the efficiency of presentation creation and offer new thinking to recalibrate the definition of, quote, presentation efficiency within today's workplace. That is a major statement for a conference, as opposed to, hey, let's get together and have a lot of experts talk so people can learn. It was really exciting. Nolan, Sandy, and myself attended. We were also invited to be a part of the presenting team. Very honored to do that. And for this episode, we're joined by Cindy and Charles, longtime listeners, PowerPoint experts, and also people that woke up very early to attend sessions at the presentation at the Present to Succeed conference. So we're going to talk about our experience at the inaugural Present to Succeed conference today. Let's go.
Thanks, Troy. You mentioned that Cindy Tingley and Charles Stella are joining us today. They are the experts today because they saw, I believe, a lot more of the conference than the three of us did. So before we get started and get their recap, I would love for you each to introduce yourselves. Cindy, why don't you start?
Okay, thanks. Well, first of all, let me give full disclosure. I'm a total PowerPoint geek, so I am more than honored to be with you all today. My name is Cindy Tingley, and I'm a learning and development and presentation specialist for actually a public library system in Washington State called Snow Owl Libraries.
Hey, Cindy.
Thanks. How about you, Charles? Tell us about yourself.
Thanks for having me. I am a presentation specialist for an investment firm in New York City. So, it was an interesting conference because a lot of the stuff they preach is, you know, the less is more. And what I do for a living in financial presentations, they preach the opposite. So it's, you know, it's everything, the slides are packed. So it's always interesting to go to these conferences and see them preach the opposite of what I do for a living.
Hey, Charles. And we've known Charles and Cindy for a long time. Charles actually lives just a couple miles from me, actually, in the next town over. So, all right. So thanks, guys, for joining. And again, we asked for you to be on because I don't know if you remember if you did that in the opening, but this was a conference based in Europe, which means it started bright and early for us in the U.S. I think, Charles and Cindy, I saw you were up at 3:30 or 4.
I was going to say dark and early. Yeah, it was dark.
That is much 30. Better than I was able to. I was not able to get to the first few sessions because of that. So I did unfortunately miss some of them, but we'll talk about that. But let's talk about what the sort of most memorable and striking thing about the conference was for everybody. And I'll go first and just say the size alone wowed me. According to Boris and the organizers, there were over 1,800 attendees. That's not something I realized even when I was presenting myself. So there was an expo booth. I think they had over like 600 visits there and almost 5,000 chat messages. So it was obviously aimed mostly at a European audience. So I don't know the breakdown of attendees. I assume most were not from the US, but certainly I saw lots and lots of familiar names. I presented. I did two sessions. We'll maybe talk about more about those. But Sandy, what was most striking for you as an attendee or as a presenter?
Well, what I thought, and this is sorely needed in our community, is that this conference was targeted for business people. Mm-hmm. You know, we love the presentation summit where the attendees are more of us. I thought this was a much more Well, he did an awesome job. And when I say he, I mean Boris, did an awesome job of bringing in content that was really relevant to business people. And I have to mention another thing, and this was totally selfish, but I learned about the Moira incident Nolan, does it?
Moray, I think.
Oh, is it Moray?
I believe it's pronounced Moray. I think there's an accent.
Obviously missed something, Charles.
Accent over the E.
Not a clue.
The incident was mine. Do you remember, Nolan, few presentations ago where your shirt went crazy?
Oh yeah, it was fortunately just a meeting, I was wearing one of my fancy sort of dress shirts that I used to wear when I would go to clients. I hadn't worn it in over a year, and unfortunately, it's a little checked, little checked pattern. Moire, yes.
It is Moire, I'm picking up Schitt's Creek, Mom.
Yes, I posted a photo and.
Wait, what did I just miss there, Sandy? What was that last statement?
So this TV series, Schitt's Creek, spelled S-C-H-I-T-T-S, the mother's name is Moira.
Moira, yeah.
Yes, right. Exactly. And it's spelt the same way. So that's why I misspelled.
Oh, this is too funny because one, I haven't seen that show. Two, it was just hysterical to hear you say it. And three, I know what a Moire pattern is because I have a print background. It was like, it's the bane of every printer's life is when you get an optical illusion, people, when things kind of go crazy. So Nolan, you wore a not camera friendly outfit,
That was for a meeting a while back. But Sandy, did you suffer from that during the conference? Is that?
Did. Oh. Actually, like you, I got out my fancy designer blazer.
Did you do two sessions?
No, I only did one. So here's the good news. We had Echo and I, logged on 15 minutes before. We were a little bit early, and they were during the initial test. We discovered that I was having the Moire effect, and I was able to change clothing quickly.
Okay, because I didn't take note of that, and that's why it was a
learning. I had no idea. I thought the small print would be less disturbing in this situation, because the camera picks it up and goes, whoa, they really distort it.
Makes it looks like you're wearing a disco shirt.
I just Googled the pattern and it looks like it's seizure inducing.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't seen more of it in sort of the last year. You make the mistake once.
Yeah. Anyway. That's pretty okay. I did not see it and I didn't know what the reference was. I'm now educated. I know what it is.
So that was your memorable moment. Troy, what was your most memorable moment? Something striking about it.
Not at the conference, but like 4 days before, so I'm finally in the zone of thinking about this conference. And that's when I open up the real agenda in not looking at it online. And I realize that it starts at 1 a.m. my time. Wait a minute. Yeah. That was an experience, an eye opener of going, hold on. This is significant. I mean, I'm waking up for East Coast companies quite often at, 3-4 in the morning, but 1 a.m. was a little bit more,
you hadn't gone to bed opener. Yet.
And that's why I ended up pretty much missing the first day. My daughter flew in from she was out for a spring break, and I said I would pick them up. 10 p.m. flight. Arrival here in California. Sure, I'll go pick them up. Well, their connector was in Denver, Colorado. It is April, and Denver had a complete snowstorm, like shut down the airport. Snowstorm. Wow. So that same day, by the way, my brother-in-law, who they just relocated from the Denver area to Phoenix, sent pictures of his kids in the swimming pool going, they're not missing Colorado at all. I didn't get home till I literally could have been listening to it on my phone because I didn't get home till close to, 1:30 in the morning. And I went to sleep and stayed asleep. Slept through not only the conference, but a business meeting. So I got a call from a client saying, hey, so it was not a good morning, but I was just exhausted because I'd woken up that morning at 4 a.m. to do an East Coast company event. So, but the conference itself was great. We'll talk more about it. I'll skip that. Cindy, Charles, give us your, what'd you ask for, Nolan? Memorable and striking?
Yes.
The moment?
Notable.
Notable.
You want to go first?
Go ahead.
I was really impressed with the interface. That was really, because I'm waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning to do this. I hadn't gotten my coffee yet, and I log on, and I'm worried that I'm not going to know where to go, what to do, because I didn't know if this was even available to go on before. I just kind of logged on when it started. And, it was really easy. just the
It really was. Good point.
I never did a virtual conference before, and just to everything was just like bam, bam, bam. You know exactly where everything was. I really, really thought the meet function was a great concept. I talked to like 6 or 7 different people.
Oh, that's great. I was going to ask if anybody utilized it.
I didn't know that it was even happening.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't know there was a timer, and I was cut off twice in the middle of conversations. And then I finally picked up for the third time that, yes, you got like 2 or 3 minutes before you cut off, or you can request extra time. But you know, that was also a really cool way to spread the message about the presentation guild. So I thought the whole interface was great.
You know what? You could do that directly from the chat.
Yes, we did that too. Me and Cindy were on that. Cindy was definitely. Cindy was really on top of that.
and I think you're right. It was very smooth. I have been a part of virtual conferences this past year. And yeah, sometimes you got to click to this link and then launch Zoom and do this. And like, okay, now I got to go back to the agenda. So it was pretty smooth.
Yeah, I'm going to echo what Charles said definitely about the platform. They did a fantastic job. But I also really enjoyed the depth and the breadth of the subject matter, the different presenters, because we saw so many folks that we know, like everyone we're talking to here pretty much. But we also had a lot of people we hadn't seen before. And I'm always looking for that inspiration. In any conference I go in, I want to look at their designs. I want to look at how they present. And it was just fantastic because we had such that wide array of both folks that we're used to and folks that we've never seen before.
Yep.
It was very cool. Now it's interesting to hear your feedback on the platform, which is Hopin, because it, to be honest, isn't my favorite. I like it, but there are things about it that I don't really jive with. And Charles, it's great to hear you like, I call it speed dating. Are you ready to speak to somebody? It doesn't really have a setup. I think they rely on people using their conference platform and knowing what it is. Because Lori wanted to use it and she was afraid to click it because she didn't want to get involved in a long conversation. And they don't really list out all that information. I think there are some definite advantages to it.
Troy,
I have a few complaints about it or things I don't like. But
Troy, is it an independent platform that uses WebEx, or tell me how that works with WebEx.
Let's talk about that one a little bit. But Hopin is a major conference platform, and WebEx was how they got our stream. So most conferences, it's a two-part thing. Where the attendees go is one thing. That was Hopin. Where the presenters go is another thing, and they're capturing the stream and they're putting it into whatever platform. They had a really, so that was honestly the first time I've ever utilized WebEx as a conference for what we call a broadcast studio or a virtual studio. You know, most people use Zoom. We use another facility. You know, everybody has their own thing, but it worked well. Again, I had a few things about it, but let me ask this. Let's bring it back to this. Okay. You can't talk about, well, I guess you could, but you know, of the presenters you saw, who presented and what was your personal experience or insights? I mean, for me, it was just that I got to see some people I've never heard of, mainly European-based industry or experts in different fields. And it was great just to get a difference, you know, a different picture of who's out there. I thought it was awesome for that. You guys?
Well, Troy, you presented. I mean, tell us about how it went for you as a presenter.
Well, I was okay. Let's talk about presenters. So let's talk about the presenting side of it. So I've never used, I mean, WebEx to me is kind of an older technology, and they had a great integration. WebEx, by the way, is very, very stable. It's just not as utilized anymore. It's mainly a corporate tool at this point. A lot of corporate subscription user. I don't know if that's the proper word, but as far as an interface goes, it works great. My big takeaway or thing that I did not like, and I want to see my session on replay because I was told that my slides weren't up when I was referencing them at a few points, is that I didn't get to see what the audience saw. Mm-hmm. Now, for anybody that's listening, conferences that are live streamed, I don't want to use this word wrong, but I'm going to say professionally, like all of ours, we're actually capturing and it's being re-encoded so that by the time you look at it as an attendee, it's available from 540p all the way up to 1080p. It's in 5 different resolutions, and there's an auto sensing scenario going on. That takes time. So it's capturing the live stream. A lot of people will capture and just send out in one stream, and you can either see it or you can't. And that's when you get pauses and blacks and stutters and all this other stuff. So this conference did that, not complain about that, but there's a latency or a time period. So when we're speaking as a presenter, the audience is hearing us 20 seconds later. That always makes the Q&A times. If you're going to ask the audience a question, you got to account for that. You basically have to ask the question and then fill 20 seconds because you're not going to, you know, the audience doesn't even hear your question for 20 seconds. I like to see what the audience is going to see, I guess is the way you see it. And we didn't see that. We just got to see what, you know, our presentation scenario, you know, our slides, our webcam. So I don't know if it was the WebEx interface that limited that or how it was done, but so for me, it was a little bit frustrating not to know what the audience was seeing. So I knew when to reference slides and when I was going to be full screen. So I should, you know, sit up and do whatever. Well, I guess I was on camera most of the time. Anyways, it worked really well. It was really smooth. It was very well organized. I don't know if you guys did it, but in one of the expo areas was the name of the facility, the virtual, it's a conference center they were using that's made for, you know, they have virtual studios pre-built. They have like the wall with the green plants behind it. That's one of their preset areas. They have cameras set up there. They also have live event areas. So, you know, you can have actual on-site meetings and stuff. It's a rentable facility designed for it. And I can't remember the name of it. It was there in Sofia. It was very cool. I mean, I get excited about stuff like that. And I was like, hey, that's really cool. And then as we looked at it, I'm like, oh, Boris is standing at that wall. Oh, Eva's over here. And I know where that is because I saw the tour thing of this, the virtual tour. So I don't know. It went really smooth. I just had a few downsides. What about, did Cindy, you guys see any of that?
As far as the studio, I just looked it up and it's Launchy.
Launchy, that was the name of it. Yeah. It was a great Americanized name that was, that works really, it's a really cool looking facility.
So I presented, I did two sessions. It was a 2-day conference, but there was like a day zero, which I didn't really understand until like a few days before. And that was just four hour masterclasses. So that was before, there were separate tickets for that. They kept it small, I think a max of 16 people. So I did a 4-hour session. I had never done anything that long online. I'm used to half day and full day trainings in person, but I did a 4-hour data training for 16 people all in Europe. I realized just how US centric a lot of my examples and things are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've known that, but that actually works. And
did it work okay?
It worked fine. Yeah.
Okay.
So that actually worked very, very well. We had no issues on that. And then I did one session on day one, a 45-minute session on inclusive presenting. I had two tech issues. I'm going to put this all on me or WebEx. First camera, you know, you get on 10 minutes before, camera wasn't working and I had to restart my computer and, you know, anyway, that ended up working. And then PowerPoint, of course, froze up on me in the middle for the first time, I think all year. Like I've had like, you know, some audio issues here or there and stuff, but I've never had PowerPoint just completely freeze up on a pretty simple presentation. So anyway, got through it. I think other than that, they had hosts that were, you know, hosting and moderating, which, so I didn't really worry at all about what people were seeing or chat or wasn't looking at Q&A or anything like that. So I had a relatively good experience.
For the what they call the first day ones, the small group ones,
the master classes.
The master classes, were those also using WebEx?
Yeah, exact same situation.
So the audience could not talk to you during that, even though it's
No, they could actually. Okay. So
everybody log in.
So they had a meeting and okay. Some people went on camera, some didn't.
Was there, because I obviously didn't get to attend any of the master classes? Was there a lot of interaction, conversation?
I think so. You know, depending on the person, some people just like to, you know, lurk and others want to get more involved. There was definitely opportunity for that.
So you filled 4 hours is what I'm kind of trying to figure out here.
Somehow. And actually, of course, I had too much information. So I had to like, you know, skip over a few things, which always happens. You know, we took 10-minute breaks
Cindy and Charles, were you able to attend any of the master classes?
Not live. I got the VIP pass, so I'll be able to go back and look at all of them.
Oh, are those part of it?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Oh, that's great to know.
The VIP full pass, and it's lifetime. You have access for lifetime.
Ooh. That's fantastic. Did not know
as long as the technology lives.
Right. That lifetime.
I have lifetime access to some zip drives, but they don't really work.
I'm also guilty of not knowing about the day zero thing. I didn't realize there was a session on master classes.
Yeah, it was a little confusing because, I mean, I signed on, you know, months and months ago, but then I'd get sort of invites, but it was an invite that went from like Friday at like through the night through the morning because of the time change. And I was like, I don't exactly know when this is. I just, thankfully, they let me present at a reasonable time because I know there were some presenters in the US who were presenting at 3 a.m. So God love them.
Troy, what 3 a.m. would be? Yeah. I'd rather do that one because then it'd be midnight for me and I could just stay up late.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, so that was all fun. Let me rephrase that question because I definitely went down a different path. We ended up going down a different path. What I was looking for is, did anybody like hear a presenter? We have not heard US-based, you know, non-US-based presenter or somebody with like, you know, just a great experience. I'll say that Sean Villaron from Microsoft is probably one of the best spokespersons they've ever had. It was a phenomenal session. First of all, just the fact that Microsoft's actually presenting and sharing two things. But how about you guys on other like maybe a non-US based or somebody that was just like crazy energy and, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I saw a couple of people from Buffalo 7 deliver, yeah. which I really, again, I didn't catch quite as many sessions as everyone else. I listened to a number of them while I was making breakfast for my girls Saturday morning and trying to deal with arguments over who had the bigger unicorn pancake. So I was going in and out. But yeah, so there were two women from Buffalo 7 who I've known about. We should have them on. I know the name. I just don't know any sort of people there that I think. So they gave a joint presentation, which was really good and really well rehearsed and really just, I've just never really thought about presentation, sort of like dual presentations in that way, or at least at that level. That was really slick. They were just sort of sitting in two chairs and presenting. So I really enjoyed that that session.
Who'd you see or hear? Because I know you got to see some.
I'll give you one from both areas. Globally, Peter Hopwood, who did a presentation on how to maximize mindful behaviors of an exceptional presenter. And I always love things that are mindful. So it was really interesting to me to see how that was blended all together. And then my US person was Luke Getting, I believe is how you say his name, from Austin, Texas. I'm sitting here literally on East Coast time at 5 a.m. with barely an eye open drinking my coffee. And here he is at 4 a.m. in Austin, fully in a suit, jacket, tie. And he has so much energy. And his presentation was just amazing. It was how to maximize your online impact. And I mean, he was a living example of it.
Oh, that's awesome. There's a session I want to see. I know Luke. He's got energy. Mm-hmm. Charles, who'd you see or what, something, you know, something that we don't get to normally experience?
Well, I was also going to say Luke for US. I had been following him from LinkedIn for years. I watch his videos a lot. So it's pretty interesting to see him. There was a guy from, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. He was the Adobe presenter. I thought what he did was really, he showed some really interesting stuff that I did not know Adobe was doing. Like one was you could take a stock image of a person and use these filters to change their facial expression, which was like kind of blew me away. That was amazing. And in the international, I feel terrible. I don't want to mispronounce her name. Veronea Kadrian, I think her name was, or along those lines.
Oh, you're probably doing better than me. The pronunciation.
She did a really, really good presentation on how to answer tricky questions, how to deflect.
Yeah.
So I'm actually currently reading Barack Obama's last book, and some of the stuff he mentions in there in terms of speaking, she mentions a lot of. So it was kind of cool to see the parallels there. I was really impressed with her presentation on the international level. Someone I never heard of.
I was going to say the same person, Charles. But you did better than me. I wrote down her name and I can't find it. So at least you got her name out there. It was an amazing presentation. It's what people are taught from, you've heard of sound bites. Mm-hmm. It was kind of PR training, but she made it applicable to a presenter. Yeah. And I've worked with a an executive from a big company, and we didn't prepare him for it, but we got sidetracked when someone came up and was literally protesting the presenting what his company does by reading a question that was very, very pointed. You know, he forced my presenter into defending himself. Mm. Obviously, his company had prepared him to answer it well. He did an awesome job, but it just never occurred to me as a designer and a coach to coach about those potential issues. So it was a great reminder that that should be part of the whole cadre of training tools.
Yeah. I usually don't get heckled except when Charles is in the audience. So I don't have to deal with it.
Hey, you know what? I think that chat saved you, Nolan, when you had those PowerPoint issues. Because people could just kind of talk with each other while we waited. You don't want the crowd turning against you.
Oh yeah, was there a lot going on?
No, you were restarting. All good stuff.
Let me tell you how to use PowerPoint. Excuse me, while it crashes on me.
Hey, even Gates got a blue screen of death once upon a time.
Yeah, he hasn't been the same since.
But, the former CEO of Apple. You're going to have to. What's his name?
Former Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah. His keynote never crashed.
But actually, there is a. Go look it on YouTube. I used to show this in trainings. There's a blooper reel of when things didn't go right during those. Now, it's very rare because they rehearsed those things and they had so many backups, but there were a few times where things didn't quite go right, or that he would start talking about something and saying, I don't really know what I'm talking about. It's all like tech. And it's look at it on YouTube. It's very funny. It's only a couple minutes.
Okay, so back to the interface. I got to ask another question because you mentioned it, and this is, I'm not going to even give my opinion on this yet, but what did you think of the chat? Now, Sandy, I know you get to vocally say, I'm not a fan of chat because I like people to focus on one thing, the presenter, and chat becomes a secondary, which is kind of what Charles said. What do you guys think about this ongoing chat for conferences, and how is it used for this conference? Because, you know, it's mainly presenters, presentation designers, and people that are looking to up their game when they're doing one of the options. What do you guys think of the chat overall?
I thought it was great. I had the same issue. I was thinking the same thing, like, would this be distracting? But they did use it in an interactive way where they asked questions, and that polling feature was kind of cool because you felt like you were involved. And it kept you awake when, you know, it's 4 and 5 in the morning and you're trying to. So, yes, I could see where it could be distracting, but I thought overall it actually added to it. So I had no issues with it.
Awesome.
It depends for me. It can be incredibly distracting. If I know the person who's presenting and maybe I've seen some of what they're presented or they're presenting before, then I will focus a little more on chat and see what people are talking about. But if it's something I really want to focus on, I get rid of chat altogether because it's like, smart. Oh, squirrel, what's happening over there?
Okay, Sandy, because we know you're not a fan of chat going on as a side conversation, what do you think of this one? Because I think it was really active.
Yeah, it was very active. And I have to say, while I still have issues, like Cindy mentioned, I'm more accepting of it. And I think in this virtual environment, it replaces that face-to-face and allows people to bond a little bit in the back end. I think it's potentially disrespectful when you get really off track to the presenter. And that's my big thing. You wouldn't be doing that in a conference room. You wouldn't be doing that at a big on-site conference, sitting there and chatting and whispering because you know someone would say, shh. Right?
Yeah, true.
Yep. So that's my whole thing with it. But it was well done. When I played with it, like I said, I can't remember if you right-click to get the meetings and all of that. What I did miss, Troy, were the emojis that Teams offers. You know, there was that, but you can always, and I don't know if you know the shortcut, if you do Windows period, you can add your own Windows emojis to the chat if you need that.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Copy and paste them in. Huh?
No, you don't copy and paste them in. The menu appeared.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I obviously didn't experiment with that. So nobody mentioned, and I was amazed by this. This is a very international event, and there are dozens of native languages, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And the chat was full, and it was always in English. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it was English. It was an English language conference.
Yeah, well, right? I mean, we do English language conferences, but we have a. Actually, now that I think about it, I wonder if Hopin does it. So we have a language selector on a lot of our conferences. It's one mm-hmm. of the options. You know, if the company wants to, we can do not like the presentations. We do simulcast presentations where it's, you know, translated, but we can make the whole interface be multiple languages. So we have one coming up that's, or we just did one that's German and Japanese. We just did another one that was three languages. Hold on. English was obviously the presenting. There is French for French Canadian. Chinese in Mandarin. I'm missing a language.
I don't know if that was.
But the chat automatically translates everything. It's kind of like a Google Translate type thing. So if you're, you know, if you speak French, if you select French, all the chat would translate across. Now I'm sure it gets pretty humorous because it is more or less an AI based translation thing going on. But I mean, I really kind of thought in the back of my head, oh, this chat's going to be pretty minimal. And it was not. It was very active, almost like overactive, in my opinion. But, you know, it means people are engaged.
The engagement thing. I think that it helped because it kept me focused on the presentations. I'm not wandering off on my phone, like looking through Facebook or Twitter. I was pretty much, if I was bored with the presenter, I went to the chat and saw what people were saying. So it actually upped the level of engagement. Oh, yeah. It upped the level of engagement for me.
See, that's good. That's great feedback for any conference to hear.
Speaking of other languages, one of my
go ahead. I was just saying.
One of my favorite parts was they and this was the smoothness of the conference. As soon as a session was done, they went right into an interstitial of here's what's coming up next. It was a nice mm-hmm. video thing. And then they would do commercials for some of the sponsors, which was great. Yes. But then also they seemed to be putting in these commercials for Bulgarian TV. Did you notice that?
Yes.
I don't know what the tie-in was, but I saw a lot of what you can watch on Bulgarian television.
I'm pretty sure Boris is the master of business connections.
There
was like some reality TV show commercial going on.
There was like the Bulgarian talk shows and soap operas or whatever. Anyway,
I thought I saw that. So on the chat though, I outside the fact that it was very active, it was all in English. I was expecting, you know, to see some other languages in there. I completely lost my train of thought. Oh, and Charles, you mentioned it, and I feel bad that I didn't get offered this. Maybe it's me. I didn't get offered to do any of the polls or anything. I don't even know how they were set up. I'm kind of asking Sandy and Nolan, because you guys were both on the presenting team. Did you know about the polling and the options to integrate them?
I don't know. I might have been asked in advance if I wanted polling, but I
would have totally utilized it for a few things. I just didn't realize it was an option, but I didn't really explore the platform. I'm usually proactive, but.
And Troy, I missed yours. Sandy, I did catch yours. Did we talk about what the session you did?
Not yet, but that's okay.
Talk about it.
Sandy.
Who was your co-host, Sandy? Let's just start there.
My co-host is Echo Swinford. If anybody out there is not familiar, Echo is a luminary in the industry, fellow MVP, has her own business, Echo's Voice. She's the founder of she's the founder of the Presentation Guild. But our session was on industry resources. So whether it would be networking or training, it was a nice conversation, not a presentation. We didn't have any slides. Boris interviewed us. And of course, Echo and I took things probably on our own for a while without Boris, but we had a really, really good time.
So Sandy, your session was great. You really just went over, it was just really nice. Like it was basically the premise was, here are resources and here's what the nature of the presentation world is. And I actually wrote down, I'm looking at a post-it note of a few books that you mentioned that I don't have on my shelf that I should.
Awesome.
So it was really nice. It was, I did catch that. I think that was after the pancake episode, calm down with my girls.
I got Troy's. That was really awesome. It was. You closed out the conference literally with a bang, Troy. True. I mean, people came out of there knowing, having so many options for how to set up their studio.
I was worried I was going to talk too fast because it's an international crowd. I was worried about
that. You talked very quickly, but here's the deal. In that same presentation that Charles brought up that we both liked, that was one of our highlights, that presenter talked about how there's a like 40% of people who listen to podcasts are speeding up. They're listening to it at 1.25 to 1.5 speed.
Because they didn't do that for me. I was there.
No. But the point is, people are getting, they need to hear faster talkers. Oh, there's a percentage of the world listeners that need faster talkers. So
that drives me nuts. I can't listen to anything that's not natural. And Netflix, like a while back announced that I don't think they've implemented it, but they said they were working on, doing the same thing for their content, where you could watch shows like at double speed or something. And I'm like, oh, come on, this has gone too far now.
YouTube absolutely. Ugh, really? I do frequently. Yeah. Well, when the talkers are really slow and you're trying to get to the point, it's like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
My favorite feature of podcasts is the skip forward 15 seconds. Well, I do it all the time. Like, come on, let's get past this gibbery and get to the point where it sounds like something I want to hear.
Skipping past the first 90% of a recipe.
Nobody does that to us.
Article, right?
Never. Just to get...
Yes, if you're listening to us on double speed, stop. No.
Okay, I got one last topic. I want to talk about because we've mentioned it, the on demand or the ability to watch the sessions afterwards and the 2022 conference. Let's start with, because I think I may have, I picked it up from the conference, but Charles, Cindy, did you guys, I think Cindy, you actually gave me more notes about how this is going to work. Like, because there was two purchase levels, which I don't fully understand, because I was just told here's your admission information, but one of them was 7 days of on-demand viewing and the other one's like lifetime. Wow. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, the VIP is the lifetime. I can't remember off the top what that other access pass was. Standard or something like that. Here it is, premium. So there's standard. There's actually three levels. There's standard, there's premium, and there's VIP.
Okay. But now the interesting thing for me is I went back to the Hopin platform to see if I could catch. I actually just wanted to read my own chat. Mm-hmm. This is a total sidetrack. I just remember my chat conversation. One thing that caught me was that the chat was continuous for the room.
Yeah.
True. So, and the Q&A.
And the Q&A. Okay. So, the chat when I was watching Sandy and Echo – I was like, what are they talking about? Well, it turns out I was looking at chat from the, because I scrolled up, I was looking at chat from the previous session. Mm. I'm sorry. Because the previous session to you was Sean Billeron of Microsoft. So when I was watching Sean's session, I scrolled back up and I'm looking at these questions going, why would people ask him that? Or what would people be commenting about? So I guess it was one continuous chat for the day in that meeting track, I guess. And I thought that was a little distracting or disorienting to me.
I think they're going to break that down when they put the recordings on. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I heard some talk about that.
That would make sense. So that was my chat thought comment that I had 15 minutes ago and I couldn't remember what it was. So on that one, so there was three purchase levels, but the thing that got me, and maybe it's just me, when I go back to the link, it just takes me to a generic Hopin page. It's gone. The conference is like not there.
So they will be everything on demand will be forthcoming on a different website. And anybody who's registered or I believe purchases later will get those links.
Okay. So it's not going to be on that conference platform. It's going to be looking at it through another link.
Yeah, I guess that's my understanding.
And one more thing before we end here. Boris has already announced next year's conference. It's going to take place on April 8th and 9th of 2022. And tickets are already on sale. And you, I think there's special pricing until the end of the month. And I can't remember what
already on sale.
Already on sale.
Okay, that's forward thinking. Wow,
that certainly is.
That's awesome. Yeah, so it's like literally a year out. So that's a Friday, Saturday. No, it doesn't include the third day. I wonder if they're going to do the master class thing. We'll have to find out because that's just the two public days.
That was an add-on anyway, so that might. Well, okay. We'll see.
Well, you're sold out. I heard that most of them sold out.
Yeah, mine sold out.
I have a question for you guys who are familiar with the virtual conferences. Is it typical to have them on a Saturday?
No. No, that's an interesting thing because that made it harder for me to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from our conversation with Boris a couple of months back, that was strategic for them in thinking that it would get more attendees because they weren't actually in their office or the international half wouldn't be, you know, they could afford to wake up early on one day to catch everything. But no, I would say no. The weekends are my free time. Hey, Cindy, Charles, thank you very, very much. Could you guys hang out with us? We're going to do a little wrap up and then we're going to come back with some pro and tech tips. You guys think you could throw one into the mix?
Sure, why not?
I'm not sure.
All right, another episode down. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Cindy, for joining us today. You had so much more information because it was a hard conference to get to being on the time zones. And two, there was a lot of conference. So getting another, you know, we should have like 20 people in here giving perspectives on it. Present to Succeed conference, I would say succeeded on delivering a great lineup of presenters and topics. I would say, this is a lot of S's. I would say it succeeded on organizing an event for several thousand attendees. And it also succeeded in appealing to both the presentation community and the business community from the attendees that I saw. So congratulations, Boris, Eva, and team on a successful conference. We all thank you for your time and investment to make it happen. And thanks for everybody joining us and listening. Don't go away. We'll be right back with some pro and tech tips. Okay, pro and tech tip. I will start, and I've got it's minor, it's small, it is techie, but if you're presenting and you're using wired headphones, so like I'm using I talked about these a couple of times ago, I'm using these in-ear earbuds, you know, they're seamless, they're the clear ones, I think they look great when you're presenting, but the problem is, you know, you're tethered to your computer. I absolutely recommend buying an audio extension. So this is assuming they're not Bluetooth. They're actually wired. They're a little eighth inch. This one's you can't see me, but I'm trying to figure this out. I think this is like a 12 foot long extension cable. So it's plugged into my system here. It runs down. I got it running up my back and I can move around. Like I went over to the other side of the room and, you know, flipped the light switch without, you know, basically doing a cartoon move where I get, you know, 2 feet away from my computer and suddenly feel like I'm yanked back into it. So audio extensions, $4 maybe from Amazon. Totally, totally worth it. I'll give you a link to the ones that I'm using because they're nice and low profile. Highly recommend it as a tip for all these virtual setups.
Perfect. I have two Ooh. Shortcuts. The first I learned during Troy's meeting and people were meeting presentation where people were chatting about the Windows shift left right arrow key to move your current window to a secondary monitor. So I'm looking at my OneNote notes right now. And if I hit Windows shift and my left key, it goes to my secondary monitor that's on the left side.
Oh, wait, that's an improvement. Because I just said Windows left, right, which means it just steps through. Windows shift, jumps into the next one.
Isn't that amazing?
Something.
Yeah, that was mind blowing.
I'm playing with this right now. I'm going to have to totally update my notes. I've never used that shift key adder because it saves you one step.
That's right.
So awesome. Number two.
Okay, Sandy. Number two, you know, in the past, I have mentioned the Windows Snip and Sketch tool. I love it. I use it all the time if I'm not using Snagit. Well, Tony Ramos provided an update to that tip with the Windows, pressing the Windows key, Shift S. What that does is allows you then to instantly click and drag to snip a portion of your screen. So you need to open Snip, the Snip tool. That's the old name. You literally get it with that shortcut and you can start grabbing the screen instantly.
I did not know that either.
I know. Isn't that? I mean, it's like, this is from the files of, I should have known this.
Well, I live by Snagit, so I don't use the Windows Snip tool much unless I'm on somebody else's computer. But that's a great one. So,
well, I recommend it for the regular business user.
Awesome. Charles, what do you got for us?
Well, I would say if anyone invites you in a podcast, go out and immediately buy a professional microphone and earpiece, because I'm here with my 5-year-old Mac laptop and AirPods. So I feel way out of the loop.
You're doing a great job.
My thing isn't really a tech tip, or like I'm not into the whole presentation. I don't really deliver presentations. I don't know about that kind of technology, but I would say something that's been frustrating me lately, and it's a basic tip. A lot of professionals know about this, but please check your grayscale settings before you send out presentations, because I've been getting a lot of issues. People, non-experienced users like to hide objects by placing, blanks, square, white squares over things to hide things, and then they don't go into grayscale and take those, click that and make the lines disappear, and you get all kinds of funky shapes appearing. So, especially if you're dealing with decks that are going to be printed and distributed, grayscale is a huge, that's a major check when you have to do that before sending it out and finalizing it.
You're obviously printing on a black and white printer,
yes,
because
yeah,
those settings only work on black and white, yeah, much to my irksomeness.
Right.
There should be a color variation of that as well.
And thank you so much for saying that, because every template I build makes sure that the grayscale settings for the masters are correct, but that does not impact the objects that people put on them. Like you said, the white shape to cover something on the slide. So
absolutely.
Great tip.
And of course, that's only on the PC. Mac does not have grayscale settings.
So. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You don't have under view and grayscale?
Nope.
Nope. I don't think I realized that.
It respects whatever you set on the PC, but it doesn't.
Okay.
So Charles, side note, we use that. We have in our formatting guidelines, what we do for formatting.
Yeah.
We, like Sandy said, whenever we build a template, it has to be checked in grayscale. Mm-hmm. To make sure that what we're sending out is going to be corporate friendly, or it's not going to have any surprises. But we actually do what we look for ghost boxes. So we'll kind of zoom down and we'll go through page by page, just select all and just look for something that's, errantly way off to the, way off the canvas out there. So we're doing that. But it also, we'll put it in grayscale and then we'll just flip through the slides looking for anything. Cause a lot of times we get white text on a white background.
Mm-hmm.
We put in grayscale. So you're like, what are those words running underneath that chart? Like, oh, wait, those are just like invisible text because they're a white text on a white background. But when you put in grayscale, suddenly they show up. So it's actually part of our proofing process as well, for a whole nother reason.
No.
How about you, Cindy?
Well, actually, I haven't tried this one out yet, but I do have one on order. One of the sponsors, actually, of the Present to Succeed conference was this device called Plexicam, plexicam.com. We see far too often in our online presentations, whether it's a training or a meeting or whatever, someone's looking down, right? They're looking somewhere on their screen, reading their script, or, trying to look at the people in the meeting. For example, right now I have to look at the top third of my screen. It makes it look like I'm looking right at my webcam, which is currently mounted on top of my monitor. But this cool little device, this Plexicam, is a see-through plastic clip that hangs on the top of your monitor and allows you to adjust up and down either your webcam, your cell phone, smartphone, if you're using that, even an SLR camera they have mounts for, so that you can literally see whatever it is you're looking at behind it, but still appear to be looking directly into the camera. So based upon, the whole design of it, I think it's going to be fantastic. I will definitely let you all know how my my test run goes with it.
So you already ordered yours, Cindy?
I ordered it right away as soon as I saw it, because whether I'm presenting myself or producing one of the many trainings that I do at work, I see it all the time. You know, absolutely. I have our people reading scripts. So yeah, I'm trying it out for the organization to see if we're just going to put it on everybody's computer that's presenting, if it works out.
I thought it was brilliant. Yes, please check back. Tell me how you, because I have not ordered mine yet, but it was one of those few things where I went I should have made that in my call out because I saw, and it was a commercial, Nolan. I looked up and I was like, yeah. What is this thing? Who's talking? So I had to unmute the volume because I usually mute out between sessions. And it was like literally a nicely produced commercial. It's an awesome, I think it's probably one of the most innovative things I've seen around. Thanks, Cindy.
So that's great. Okay. So changing the topic a bit, my tip is a blob generator. This, if you've ever needed to create just a blob, like an amorphous shape on a slide, it's kind of difficult. Like you're moving like edit points and like, how do I make? So we're going to give you the URL here. It's blobs.app. I think. And you just go and you can set all these different parameters, the randomness, the complexity, you can just keep changing stuff. And then at any point, you can just view the SVG code and download it, bring it into PowerPoint, and you have just a random, you know, blob if you need a shape. So it's kind of cool. I've already used it because sometimes you just don't want a square or circle. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Wait, this is so fun.
Everyone's getting it right now.
I've got a 50s B movie stuck in my head right now.
Yeah, exactly. 60s,
whatever.
So if you just want something not, you know, a square or a circle, you just want to like a little amorphous type, organic type thing. Yep.
Yeah, you gotta go. It's blob, blobs.app.
That's it. Yeah.
We'll put this in the show notes, but this is, and the little animation for when it changes is just mesmerizing.
Yeah.
It does one thing and it does it really well. That's that's the blob generator.
Wow.
Very cool.
This is Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com. We have a team of graphic design, multimedia, and presentation experts. We do lots and lots of executive presentation design, professional templates, and of course, custom work with large, big stage events, which I'm very excited that are coming back into fashion because the world is becoming back into normalness, maybe-ish.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz. I'm at the guild at presentationguild.org and on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, Twitter as at PPTWhiz. And I would add, follow the podcast @prez_podcast if you haven't already.
And this is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of goodies and downloads. And if you're interested in on-site presentation or remote presentation, hit us up at nolanhamescreative.com.
And I'm Cindy Tingley, a learning and design and presentation specialist from Washington State, where I work for Snowall Libraries.
I'm Charles Stella with Co2 Management. Please join the Presentation Guild, and you can follow me on Twitter at The Cool Tech Dad.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I did not know that. Hey, everybody, thank you for joining us. Totally appreciate it. And everybody listening, thanks. We'll talk to you all again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show host with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.